6. Ephesians 6. If everybody could kind of scoot into the middle, because there's going to be more crowds coming in, so they could sit on the outside. As Mo said, the curly spread out. Okay, they're going to be doing the play up in Chicago. I think about 5. So we'll be praying for that. And then I think Brother Garcia and some went down to the wilds this last week. So kind of sparse here. But we're in Ephesians 6, verse 10 and following. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand the spiritual warfare that we are a part of. And I do ask that you'd help the ones doing play, that you'd fill them with the Spirit of God. And I pray that your words through them can go right to the heart without hindrance. And Lord, I just pray you'd bind unclean spirits. And I do pray that you'd help us to realize that beings are trying to manipulate our thought process, our mind, trying to deceive us, trying to pull us away from thee. And I pray you'd help us to understand spiritual warfare and to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 10 and following. This is about spiritual warfare. This is warfare that you can't see with a visible eye, or rarely on occasion one can see it with a visible eye. Often it's people that are drunk or on drugs or something like that that they can see into these things. But Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Okay, and then so forth. Okay, the first idea, the first doctrinal truth that was brought up with the people in Ephesus, if you go back to Acts 19, that's when it was first brought up, Acts 18, 19, and 20. And in Acts 19, remember the first thing Paul asked these people in Ephesus, "Have you heard there's a Holy Ghost?" "We've never even heard of that." And then he said, "Okay, then what were you baptized?" "Well," then they said, "Well, John the Baptist." Okay, and so they were introduced to the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, at that point. Now in Ephesians 2, remember there's 7 letters Paul wrote to 7 churches, John wrote to 7 churches. Both of them wrote to Ephesus. Paul introduced to them about the capability to do the work of God through the Spirit of God. In Revelation chapter 2, John warned those people that if you don't get back to your first love, repent, and do the first works. What is he talking about? First works. Okay, if you've ever taught a class, or was the first time you witnessed, or the first time you went street preaching, or anything like that, do you recall, do you remember, that you felt totally useless, helpless, inadequate, absolutely, totally scared to death, okay, and you were begging God to help you? So you had a complete reliance on the Spirit of God saying, knowing that I can't do it, so I'm asking you to help me. That's the first works. When a person does this more and more, they tend to fade away on their confidence of begging the Spirit of God, and they tend to forget that, and they tend to get more self-confident. Okay? And so the first works is to realize that you have to completely rely on the Spirit of God at all times. Okay? No matter how much you did it, you keep asking the Spirit of God, because this is how you know the Bible is true, is because of the behavior of people when you give Bible verses, show a Bible sign. I mean, it's abnormal behavior. It's odd. You ask somebody the question, "Do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" They say, "I've been baptized." I didn't ask that question. It's about like saying to somebody, "How are you today?" "Well, I'm 6 feet 2. I didn't ask that question. Okay? And they shift on you. And that's a spiritual thing. It's a warfare that's unseen, but yet with experience you could recognize behavior or body movements of people, or more than anything, you watch their eyes. Okay, and their eyes will sometimes, I've seen them glass over, just like a guy immediately got drunk or, you know, got some dope. I've seen it glass over that quick, and then it's like their mind just goes totally neutral, totally passive. That's spiritual. That's a warfare. Okay, and so he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. How do we get strong in the Lord? Well, Proverbs 4, verse 10, okay, if a man faints in the day of adversity, his strength is small. Proverbs 24, 5, a wise man is strong, a man of knowledge increases strength. So how do we get strong in the Lord? Is the more we know about him, study him further. And then it says, and in the power of his might. So you have seven pieces of armor to the armor that he gives us here. There are only six mentioned, and of course the seventh, you could say it's his leg greaves because he's kneeling. That's often the thing. But how do we put this armor on? I think it's a it's a conscious thing that we do when you get ready to witness or do something for the Lord. Hopefully you do it every morning. You think about that, but often you forget. Okay, but before you get in a battle or something, you ask, you just kind of run it down. Lord, I help put on my helmet of salvation, put my breastplate of righteousness, loins girded with the belt of truth, feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. I got my sword of the Spirit, and Lord, I ask you to cover me with the shed blood of Christ. Boom, there you're ready to go. And I'm asking you to give me the right words at the right time, with the right spirit, to the right person, and then it's up to you about the response you want. Okay, it's up to you whether you want to use the words to destroy this person or to save this person. That's your business. Okay, and so you just kind of run through it quick, but yet those are things that I pray, when you're dealing with people. And you pray on the spot. You could pray. You don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to crisscross yourself. Tic-tac-toe, three in a row, all that stuff. Okay, you know what this is? That's a Catholic that stutters. Okay, and so... So you run all those, and you can do it on the spot, okay? And because it's an invisible thing. If you would look in Isaiah chapter 50, okay, Isaiah chapter 50. Now, in this first printing of the reference Bible, of Lord willing, if we get a second one, I've got, you see in Ephesians 6 on the next page, it's a lot of blank there, on page 1756. Well, that's all filled up for the next one. Because I get more details on 6:12. But in Isaiah chapter 50, there was an unseen battle on the day of Calvary. Isaiah chapter 50 gives a little insight into this battle. And I would dare say this took place during the darkness from noon to 3. And this is between Jesus Christ and Satan himself. Isaiah 50, verse 5. The Lord has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Okay, now who's doing all those things? Flesh and blood people. Who led them to do that? Unclean spirits led them to do that. It says, for the Lord will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. This is Satan coming right near to Jesus Christ on Calvary. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Okay, this is the battle between the Lord and Satan on that day. I would dare say, again, during the dark hours, because if man saw what was going on, their brain would just, they'd fry. Okay, and there's a lot of evidence of these things. And you could see that major corporations... are, generally speaking, tools of Satan, merchandise. What was he known for? What was Satan known for? Lucifer, merchandise. And get on any search engine, you know, get into the video part, type in subliminal messages. Type in hidden symbols. Okay, the number 666 is embedded almost everywhere. Okay, if you look at Walt Disney, Walt, the W curves around. There's a 6 over there, and in the I, I think there's a 6, and at the end there's a 6. They put all these things. It's all subliminal messages, and they airbrush things in behind pictures where they put perverted things to get people to do, you know, all this. The subliminal advertisement's more powerful than the advertisement that's direct to us. That's a subtle form of mind control. The extreme mind control is when people are tortured, okay, to cause fear and things. And when somebody does this, it almost has to be in a military aspect. Some would call Manchurian candidates. Okay, and so, and it's interesting when you study bloodlines. Now, there's a guy on the internet who's a nutcase, but he does have interesting studies called David Icke, or Icke, I-C-K-E. And he has done a pretty extensive study on world leaders, and it's amazing how it's usually one bloodline of people that will be running the show. Barack Obama is the 8th cousin of Dick Cheney, the 10th cousin of George Bush. George Bush is related to all 40 royal family members. Abraham Lincoln's all, you know, also is another relative, and all this runs through. Okay, and that one, that's kind of, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself and getting down to verse 12. But the idea that there are two areas, remember, that we are told that you're not supposed to talk about: religion and politics. Why is that? Those are the two main areas where Satan's work is accomplished. He said to Jesus Christ, the temptations, if you bow and worship me, religion, I will give you the world kingdoms, politics. Religion and politics. Whoever worships Satan most is the ones who get fame and fortune, money, power, the ones who worship them most. Okay? Is that still going on today? Obviously. Okay, people think that we elect public officials. I would say probably you do locally, maybe statewide, nationally. I don't think they're elected. I think they're selected by bloodline. Okay, I mean, it's just phenomenal. The coincidences of these ones at the top, their relations with each other and through the years. You know, George Bush related to Princess Di. And all this stuff. I mean, it's just, it's constant through there. And it's beyond coincidence. Okay, so verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, the only way you can do the service of God, the work of God, is through the Spirit of God and through the words of God. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against, notice, the wiles of the devil. The wiles. Trickery. Deception, like Wile E. Coyote. Okay, and so the wiles of the devil, this is where this advertisement comes in. And when the more you know about these things, the madder you get, because you think, what are these dirty scumbags trying to manipulate my mind? You know, it's like if you sit down beside somebody and they say, hey, would you go sit someplace else? I mean, if they just let you know, hey, I don't want you sitting by me, most of the time you'd get up and walk away, wouldn't you? You know, but a fly comes and lands on you. What's a fly do? You swat at it, it comes back. You swat it again, it comes back. You swat it again. Don't you stupid thing get the message? I don't want you around. Flies and mosquitoes are like unclean spirits. They don't leave you alone. And the only way you get rid of them is you kill it. Remember they called Jesus Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. So these beings... when you study these beings and understand, then you know what you're dealing with as far as unclean things, unclean spirits. And so then in verse 12 it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, Okay, principalities, principal things, top, principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Where's this darkness? Rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Common saying, he has friends in high places. Another common saying, he's in the know. Where does that come from? In the know. Okay, Genesis chapter 19, remember those Sodomites knocked on the door of Lot? They said, we want to know those men, the two angels. That's in the know. And why is it that public officials are so perverted? I mean, it's not just, you know, what's reported. You got to get beyond what's reported, because the news broadcasters, the media, medium, is another form of mind control. You know, how many of you remember hearing of Boys Town? Remember the Boys Town show and how Mickey Rooney played the part? You know what the Boys Town was all about? Selling those boys to high public officials for perverted reasons. That's what goes on. A few years back, there was the first church in America that was padlocked, Everett Sullivan's church in Nebraska. Come to find out, what was behind all that? Why would they concern themselves with five little families of a little Christian school in Lincoln, Nebraska? Come to find out, there was a sex scandal going on through Nebraska, and they felt like that this was going to damage this thing, this perversion going on, and so they tried to get the thing sidetracked to focus on that guy. Okay, it's just utter perversion. It's, thank God, it's perversion beyond the average person's mindset, and especially for us believers. Okay, and to me, this is part of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 19, where it says that there are some strange doctrines, weird doctrines in the Bible. Okay, and these are doctrines that I would dare say we are to know about, but we are not to be occupied with. I'm not going to build a ministry on this. When we cross it, we'll deal with it, give you some information. Okay, dealing with fallen angels or Satan, who can have relations with humans, people. I use the word human, even though the word human in a couple law dictionary means monster. Okay, the Bible word is man or woman. So where you can have the genes and the DNA crossing so that they can get a super human or super powerful being that will fulfill the bidding of the Antichrist, a soldier that can do unbelievable feats and survive unbelievable armies attacking them. Okay, in your old days, you'd call these giants. Have the giants gone away? No. Type in giants in Afghanistan on the internet. You see some interesting stuff about a soldier revealing a giant that they had several hundred soldiers had to kill and brought him, and he's in Ohio somewhere trying to investigate what this thing is. Okay, and if you would look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15... Okay, remember that Satan rewards worship of him with power and wealth. Okay, normally what's done with political office, they say, who's in power? I thought it was rather interesting. Somebody asked Ron Paul, when he was running for president, what kind of power would you exhibit as a president? I thought his answer was very instructive and very constitutional. And he said, power? A president is not to have power. He has influence, but not power. How about a president like that? Where all you can do is use your influence to try to sway the people where the powers are supposed to be to do the right thing. But what do they always say? Who's the power of Chicago? Mayor Daley. Power. Okay, and this is a forced, hand-fisted power. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, any Bible prophecy teacher will say Genesis chapter 3 is the first direct prophecy of Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, thee the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, the woman, Jesus Christ, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, or his heel, yeah. I don't care who you deal with, good or bad or evangel, I don't care who, what kind of a Bible prophecy teacher, almost all of them say Genesis 3:15 is the first direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, referring to him as the seed of the woman. But none of them talk about the seed of the serpent. What about the seed of the serpent? The Antichrist, the son of perdition. What about that seed? Can Satan have children? Can Satan have a seed? For a long time when I was reading John 8, verse 44, when Jesus Christ looked at the Pharisees and said, ye are of your father the devil. I thought he was speaking spiritually. At this point in my life, I think it's literal. Meaning, those Pharisees, the ones in those Pharisaical rows, the ones who the scribes, were actually crossed between humans or man or woman and Satan's seed. And then they got involved in the Bible translating work because that's the number one area where Satan's going to work. Question what God said. Now, Gail Ripplinger's most recent book also reveals that truth. Who are the big guys that are supposed to be the scholarly ones of the new Bibles? Westcott and Hort. Remember those two names? Westcott and Hort. Mr. Westcott worked at a boys' home like Boys Town, and there was rampant pedophilia, sodomy going on through that boys' home, and he knew it, and the one in charge of it was involved with it, and a scandal was starting to take place, and he was there for over 10 years knowing everything that was going on. And then when it was time to call names in for the Bible Revision Committee of 1881, who did he call? The head of the boys' home, a known pedophile. These guys involved with the Bible translation. Phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. Okay, so then Genesis chapter 6, famous known passages. Okay, Genesis 6, verse 1 through 4, the results of this cross between the sons of God, fallen angels, or angels, and the daughters of men produce giants. And when this in Jude verse 7-8, this is called strange flesh, weird flesh, unusual flesh. Now, I've taught this before, so I'm just running certain references. Psalm 82 is a psalm about the flood, and it says to these gods, little g, ye shall die like men. Now, why would he make a statement to that to somebody who's a man? It is somebody who is like a man, but is going to die like a man. And the idea in Genesis 6 is whatever it is, and I don't understand everything, but whatever it is, when these angels take on flesh and can have relations with women, the taking on enough flesh is losing their first estate, Jude verse 6. They become strange flesh, Jude verse 7. After that, then they die and drown like a rat in the flood. That's what happened. He did in Genesis 6. He also did that in Genesis 1. There were two worldwide floods, both of them killing off a race of satanic beings. But these beings have to get flesh and blood to eat in order to appear as a man or a woman. I don't understand everything, but it's kind of weird. Okay, now let's give you some information to kind of back this up. I'll tell you how perverted it is, and I want to keep it pretty generic so the young ones don't pick up on this. Okay, but Satan and his evil spirits may appear as men and have relations with women. These evil beings terrorize, sacrifice, and eat children and people without emotion. They're like beasts of prey. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 13, in interesting words, or Numbers through 22. They often conduct their sacrifices in secret places like the Bohemian Grove in the Virgin Forest of California. Now, what is known about the Bohemian Grove that's known publicly is that there's a 40-foot statue of an owl there made out of concrete. And friends in high places like to go there to relax, like Henry Kissinger, who likes to go there and run around naked in the woods, which is what's been said, and cross-dress and do all sorts of perverted stuff. Okay, and then they have a, quote, mock sacrifice. Now, Alex Jones is the guy that infiltrated this and took actual footage of it. Now, there's a 40-foot statue of an owl. In the Old Testament, an owl is a portrayal of Molech, the god Molech, a wise owl, as in the Illuminati, the wise ones who are illuminated more than us. Now, in the Old Testament, we do have, obviously, in Old Testament, remember several places where it said that they sacrificed children, right? Several of the kings did that. Of course, we know the world's getting better. We're more civilized. That don't take place anymore. So if they did that in the Old Testament and the children of Israel, in order to gain power with Satan, the sacrifice of children, has anything changed? Okay, we have one product in the store called Peter Pan. The god Pan, a product named after a pagan god, the Greek legend of Pan. Pan is a strange goat-footed god. You can go down in the Rensselaer Library, I know where the books are, I don't know about the Lowell Library, but there's a section in the library called Man, Myth, and Magic, 20-some volumes, books. It's a big, long encyclopedia-like. And you look up the word Pan, or as in Pandora's box, and it has a song in there that they sing on panpipes to the god Pan. And it's got a picture of a little plate-like thing, a picture of the goat god, where he's got the man from here up, the goat down here, and he's playing on his panpipes. And there's a little girl in the background with tears coming down her eyes like this. And if you read the words, Pan runs through the woods terrorizing little nymphs. You say, what's a nymph? I didn't know. So in the volume, I looked up the word nymph, and it said girl. I'm thinking, why didn't you use the word girl? Well, obviously, they're covering things up. Who's going to look it up? So here's the little goat god going through the woods, terrorizing little girls, and then there's a picture of the goat god and the little girl in the background who's subservient to him. That's the story of the god Pan. It's a Greek god. That's a perverted thing. How could someone be so perverted? But then, if you go to in Valparaiso, the regular library of the university, that's the closest place I could find a set of the Talmud. Okay, the Talmud is the commentaries on the Old Testament by Jewish rabbis. This is what the Jewish people go by now. They go by the Talmud. They have what's called the Torah, or the Pentateuch, that's the first five books. And then sometimes I think they call the whole Old Testament the Technach. You know, that's usually how, you know, when we were in Israel, Brent realized in order to talk good Hebrew, you have a good hawker in your throat. You know, Technach, you know, and that's how you can kind of get the things out there. Okay, and but they go by the Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud is commentaries upon the Bible. The Old Testament. We know the Old Testament as a Masoretic text. Okay, now here's what it says in the Talmud. It's in Nidah 44b and 44a. It's like a 20-volume set. So if you look at it, you find Nidah and go to 44a and 44b and A. And here's what it says. It discloses the perversion of the apostate priests who allow relations between a man and a girl at the age of 3 years and 1 day. The question was asked the rabbi, when can a man marry a girl? The answer was 3 years and 1 day. And then it further says, but if there's relations before that, it's like taking your finger and poking it in her eye where she loses her virginity and gets it back. Now, that don't register with me. In my mind, this is what the Kabbalah is all about. It's interesting. Jan came across a lady in town. We haven't gotten her to church yet, but she's been telling Jan about all her woes of her daughter. Her daughter's been through a terrible divorce, lost her child, and the child is to this guy. And it's according to the record, he has been accused of and has probably been guilty of perversion with young girls, with this girl. And so this lady's trying to find a good attorney to help her out, and she came across a Jewish lady. And this Jewish attorney, almost all her cases are that the father gets the child. Father's rights. Why? Jewish culture. Why? Daddy's king. Why? A lot of incest goes on. Why is that? Same thing that goes on with kings and queens and presidents in high places. They don't. This is what happened with the Rothschilds, the international builders, the builders, all that stuff. It's all interbreeding. They want to keep it within the family. They think you and I are nothing but pawns, and we don't know what's good for us. You see? And that's how these people are so out of their mind. What they've been deceived in, that that they get eternal life, they can live longer by taking energy from the child when it's terrorized. The more the child is terrorized in acts of crime, the more adrenaline is pushed through the blood of the child, where they themselves get that. Now, Bill Sneblin could tell you some of this stuff himself, who rubs shoulders with these people. Okay, now Bill told me that, you know, he didn't get that evil. Okay, but Bill said, I could stand in a elevator. He said, when I was losing energy, I could stand in an elevator. People walk in the elevator. He said, I could draw energy from them, take their life out of them and put them in me. Now, do they have this capability? I think they do. Okay, but you see, the thing is that you and I got more power in Jesus Christ, in the name and blood of Jesus Christ, than these people can ever imagine. We have nothing to fear with these people. They fear a child of God who is resting in the promises of God. The devil's fear. Now, Satan himself doesn't. He don't fear anybody. He don't even fear God. But the devils do. Okay, they fear. Now, these beings, okay, they have an international technique of terror. And this international technique of terror is disclosed by the Latin words ordo ab caio, or whatever it's pronounced, which means order out of chaos. Okay, order out of chaos. They cause a chaos behind the scenes secretly, but yet they are the ones who will become the rescuers. How did Adolf Hitler get in power in Nazi Germany? What was the building, burning of some building? The Reichstag or something like that? Okay, who ordered the burning of it? History shows that he did. But he gets publicly saying, we're going to find out who did this. Well, look in the mirror, pal. But he becomes the hero. Is 911 any different? There is so much evidence on 911 that if it wasn't ordered by high political people in this country, it was absolutely incompetent what went on. I mean, NORAD was completely shut down under the orders of Dick Cheney. Now, there are some stuff out there that I started reading one book, and it got so perverted I didn't want to read it. But there's a woman named Kathy Burns who has an unusual life story. And if it's half of it's true, it's downright hideous. And she claims to have been, you know, sold by her dad to Gerald Ford. And you go up the ladder, and she's been with almost all these high political people. And I asked a guy who I know, who's a missionary now, who worked in the mind control portion of the Navy. I mean, Cyclops. Jeremy Lawson just talked to one of these guys a week ago. And mind control part of the Navy. And I was asking him about, and we got talking about that book. I said, how much is that true? He said, it's probably pretty true. He got out of the mind control part and now is a missionary in Israel. Okay, but still, what's going on is phenomenal. Okay, now Jeremy Lawson happened to talk to this guy that was in a barbershop. And he says, what part of the branch are you in? And he said, oh, I've been in 21 years. What part? Cyclops. Cyclops? Psychological warfare? It's mind control. And he just came out and asked this guy. He said, "Hey, what's going down this year, September, October? What's going down?" He said, "I ain't telling you. A lot of scuttlebutt going on, you see. And there's just something brewing in the wind in our country. Just something's brewing in the wind. And, you know, thank God I got me a Bible. And thank God I know my God's more powerful than these people. You see, now, you know, the Lord already kind of taught me, played a dirty trick on me on that several years ago. And I pretty much took care of me. But still, the idea is, this what's in control. Satan thinks he's he's leading us what, but God's allowing this whole program to go. Why? Because he wants a big show at the end, and he's going to get the glory. Okay, and so rulers secretly create chaos or disorder through their minions, so people will demand order. The people demand the order. Like Katrina. People, we got to have more help. Now, you know, can we control the weather? Some people say we can't. I really don't know. There is a program up in Alaska called HARP. There is one over in Soviet Union. Rick and Bill Subban can tell you all about that. Maybe they can do it localized, but I really got my doubts about it internationally. But maybe they can. I really have not a clue. Okay, but there's a lot of goofy stuff going on. I mean, just amazing stuff going on. And so I can imagine the Lord, you know, if somebody's thinking they're controlling the weather by HARP, I can imagine the Lord with his sense of humor letting them think they're getting away with it, playing along with the game. And come tribulation time, they try to pull the buttons to do something else, and he does the opposite, you know. I can imagine the Lord doing that. Okay, but can they start a tidal wave? Oh, yeah, just cause explosions in the ocean. Cause an earthquake. Is that what caused a tsunami? Could. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. It's just a phenomenal. A lot of stuff. Okay, and so, you know, just through history, if you just read any history, get outside of the history of the public schools, you can find that Woodrow Wilson got us in World War I by playing some shenanigans. FDR in World War II. Right off Hawaii, there's a place where they debrief all the soldiers who have been in under mind control, and that's where they scramble their brain and they never get right. It's right off Hawaii. Okay? LBJ, Vietnam War. You see? George Bush in Iraq. These guys, they appear to be the hero, but they're the bad guys. Now, what about the men who fought in these wars? Good, valiant men fought in these wars. You see, they don't know what... The responsibility goes into ones at the top. That's where the responsibility goes. Abraham Lincoln, Civil War. All facade. I mean, as far as he brought it on, it wasn't to free the slave. We could have freed the slaves, but monetarily easy. It could have taxed it out of existence like England did. Didn't have to have a war. It was all this stuff is staged by the ones at the top, usually the international bankers. That's what we're wrestling against. Okay, now, as we're wrestling, when people wrestle, is it like baseball where they're spread apart from each other? Wrestling is when you are interwoven with them. So this is why often when you're trying to do the work of God, there are times where if you have to really be cautious to your own spirit, where you can get depressed or say something that is satanic and in 1 minute say something that's right. Why? Because you're wrestling. This is how Peter in Matthew 16, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" They told him. Then he said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ." Absolutely, 100% right. 3 verses later, he rebuked Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. How can that happen? We are wrestling. And so at one point, we may be high on the Lord, and the next point, we may be deceived by Satan that quick. Where in 1 Kings 18, Elijah had a great victory. He against 850 false prophets. Nobody's going to stop him. He's with God. The next chapter, one woman scares him to death. Spiritual warfare. You see, and this is what we deal with. And so this is why often you can see somebody who is on fire for God, being used by God, and do a switch, being deceived. Billy Graham, for example. I mean, where God was using that man, and God has still used him, you know, but then you talk about a switch in some of his beliefs. I mean, saying that the Pope is an evangelist. Oh, cut it out. Thinking that something mysterious might happen when an infant is baptized. Thinking that, making statements that hell isn't really fire, it's just separation from God. Those are statements that Billy Graham has made. You see, where, you see, a man can be yielding to God and the next second say something that pleases Satan. And this is where we're all susceptible to. Why? Because they're like flies and mosquitoes. But you see, when you say to a believer in Christ, have you ever considered possibly you're oppressed by a devil? You know, people get offended by that. What do you mean? Are you saying I'm of the devil? Well, can you be? Yes, you can, and I can. Okay? I've been bit by mosquitoes. You know, I've got flies buzzing around me just like anybody else. I'm not anybody unique like anybody else. And so this is the spiritual warfare we're a part of. Okay? And so the weapons we have is the armor. And the weapons that we have is prayer and fasting. And the weapons that we have is the name of Jesus Christ. Man, I can tell you story after story about that stuff. You know, and I'm sure many of you can. And the weapons we have is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the weapons we have is the written word of God. The power of quoting the word of God to people. And I tell you, there's just amazing power with that. Okay, and so Ephesians 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, if we know this in our mind and recognize it, this is how a person can actually be persecuted by flesh and blood, but turn around and pray, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because this person is just a minion of what he's being told. You see, yeah, but it makes them the victim. Yeah, I know it does, and I know they're responsible, but still. Like this one Chinese pastor that I was reading about his testimony where he'd been beaten so many times, and one time he got beaten, blood's all over the place, and when he gets done beating him, the soldiers get done beating him, he just goes over by the bucket with the rag and starts cleaning up the blood. You know, knowing that's what he's supposed to do and can forgive the men who beat him. And that just, in this case, blew their mind. They didn't know how to react. How do you react to somebody like that? You see, that's where the common saying is that persecution is the lifeblood of the church. It does the opposite of what the people that persecute, thinking that if you persecute Christians, you're going to take them down, but actually it does the opposite. And this is what Constantine realized. What did not work with Rome is when they persecuted the Christians and Christians grew like wildfire. What worked is when Constantine said, oh, I'm a Christian. Antagonism didn't work. Alliance worked. And that's what's working today. What's working today in our country is alliance has brought the Christians down, worldly, complacent. That's what's ruining us. You know, we need some good persecution. I hate to say that, but that's what our country needs. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so that's part of the wrestling, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. You can get into that, the darkness. Below our feet is the darkness. Tunnels underground, whole cities, whole highways, whole communication underground. They're already under the ground. The Bible tells us about these things. But these beings forget about the earthquake. You see, they crawl out of the ground like worms, it says. Okay, in Revelation chapter 6, they're in their bomb shelters coming out. The kings of the earth are coming out of the ground. Ayn Rand wrote about this in Atlas Shrugged in 1957. You know, there's nothing hid about this stuff. It's all around. It's just a matter of finding it. Okay? And so, yeah, they forget about the earthquake. That's not the place to be during an earthquake down there. The place to be during earthquakes up there in the presence of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we wrestle not, and that's the, that's the rulers of the darkness of this world, and then spiritual wickedness in high places. That's when you get into the religion part. The last pope that died, what was the shape of his casket? The trapezoid. The Dracula. That was a sign to all Satanists that he was one of us. You see? And I tell you, if you want to, I think some investigative reporting is to go below the Vatican and find out what goes on down there. Now, Bill Sneblen and company, they've gotten below the Latter-day Saints down in there. They knew a kid that went down in there. There was human sacrifice going on down there. But I bet you the Vatican puts the Mormons to shame. So, spiritual wickedness. Thank God I wasn't grown up in this stuff. Thank God I got a Bible just to read about it. And thank God I got a God that's more powerful than all this stuff. Okay, we'll stop there and pray. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. And Lord, thank you that you've given us all that we need to wrestle against the principalities, the powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. I pray you'd help Jan and the folks involved in the play right now, that you'd fill them with thy spirit. And I pray that what's said and done will be a blessing to you. And I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to you and to your words. In Jesus' name, amen.